There's a bit of a complicated web of organizations that look after global financial governance, and they all have sort of different mandates, but in some ways, they're all connected to each other. These organizations have three really distinctive traits that make them highly unique from the kinds of agencies, government agencies, public agencies that we see on a domestic level. And these traits also make these organizations distinct from other formal kinds of organizations we see in international law. So the first key characteristic of these organizations is that they're what's referred to as soft law bodies, which is to say that there's no treaty that has constituted any of these organizations. So this essentially means that the standards or rules or ideas that they come up with have no formal status in either international or domestic law. Their governance structure is somewhat complex, and it's also highly opaque. So we may know who the leadership of these organizations are. Typically, they're sort of high-level central bankers from various of the member states. But we being the public, really don't have a line of sight into who is populating their various committees or assessment teams who are making important and pivotal decisions, what they decide, and so on and so forth. And then the third key characteristic is sort of related to these first two that I've just mentioned, which is there is essentially no political accountability that attaches to these organizations. So the Basel Committee, the FSB, certainly not the Bank for International Settlement, right? Their leadership is not required to, for example, go to Congress and testify about the decisions that they've made, right? There's really no direct link between the democratically responsive institutions in any given jurisdiction and the leadership of these bodies. The reason that these organizations formed is because leadership in the G10 or G20, respectively, sort of saw a gap in international coordination when it came to these internationally active banks and the need to set some basic levels of safety and soundness around how these banks would operate and be governed. Now, that was the original impetus for these organizations. I think the most important thing to take away from how these organizations formed is perhaps how they evolve, right? Which is to say that they evolve the way that they want to evolve because, again, they're not part of any formal legal system. They're not bound by a treaty. They're not answerable to any domestic legislation. So I think these organizations have tremendous value, have their most value in serving as a fora for brainstorming, idea generation, and really that cross-border pollination of ideas and driving some kind of consensus around minimum standards that are highly technical in nature that can then be discussed and implemented on the domestic level, right? I mean, in truth, this is how these organizations were designed originally to function, and they have grown and evolved. But the idea of having international standards and ideas around important issues of the day and in things that really can't be solved by any individual jurisdiction is tremendously valuable as long as you can attach it to a domestic regime of political accountability.